The scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 22 through 29. John chapter 1, verses 22 through 29. So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands the one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
A couple years to get there. Sorry, I changed plans on you. David was heading up the youth program at that point in time, and I have such fond memories of David and Sandra and the things that they taught. I remember sitting in their living room opening up God's Word, and I appreciate that so much, that influence that it had in my life. This morning, I want to ask you a question as we start. What is it that we talk about? If you were to make a list of the things that we talk about on a daily basis, what would that list entail? I went to the one source that we can always trust to find that top 10 list. And so I went to the internet and I sort of found those things that listed. And there's a lot of varieties of ways that this is put together. But these are the things that the internet says that we talk about the most. And I would imagine that most of us could probably come up with this list. What are the things that we talk about the most each and every day? Well, that list that's made up from the internet is the first thing. Again, you can put these in any order that you wish. But one of the things that we talk about most often is entertainment, movies, television, the things that we see, the things that the Hollywood and those that are involved in those sort of things. So entertainment is one of the things that we talk about the most. As you continue to go through that list, you find on that list of technology. Who's got the latest cell phone? Do you have the iPhone 26 or do you have the iPhone 3? We're comparing all the things that we have technology-wise. Do we have a 75-inch widescreen TV at home or do we still have the old 12-inch black and white at home? We talk about technology. Another thing that we talk about is sports. This is where I usually make a joke about OU, OSU, but because you don't know me and I don't know you real well, I know we've got some OSU people in here, and I won't make the joke about that being a junior college or anything like that. When we get to know each other a little bit better, then maybe we'll talk about that. But we talk about sports a lot. We talk about our teams that we have in fantasy sports. We know the statistics of all of our sports figures. What else do we talk about? We talk about entertainment, we talk about technology, we talk about sports, but another thing that makes that list is we talk about food and drink. If you look at people's Facebook posts, you're going to see the things that they're eating. They take pictures of the food and they put it out there so that people can see what we're eating, and we talk about the foods that we eat. Another thing that makes that list is travel. I love to travel. I do a lot of mission work. I love to travel. I go to Romania. I go to Moldova. I go to Eastern Europe a lot. I love to travel. And people talk about traveling. They talk about the vacations that they're going to take, the vacations that they've already had. They talk about travel. Another thing that makes that list is relationships. If you look at social media, people are talking about their relationships. People love to share pictures of their families, of their children. Some of you as grandparents, you share pictures of your grandchildren. But we oftentimes talk about relationship. That makes that top 10 list of things that we talk about most often in our lives. What about politics? You ever talk about politics? We live in a great country, don't we? One of the things that we like to talk about, and oftentimes you're going to see people post on Facebook or Instagram, or they're going to be talking about things such as politics. Continuing down that list, people talk about diet and exercise. They talk about new diets that they're trying, and they talk about the exercise that they're doing so that they can lose weight. Then they oftentimes also talk about their careers. Rounding out that list of top 10 things that people talk about is shopping. What we bought, where we're going to shop next, coupons that we can get so that we can get discounts on our shopping. You look at that list and you see entertainment and you see technology and you see sports and you see food and drink and you see travel and relationships and you see politics and diet and exercise and our careers and you see shopping. And you look at that list and you say, those are the things that we talk about. Is there anything missing? In our daily conversations, the things that we talk about with other individuals, is there anything that is missing on that list? Folks, we live in a world that has almost gone crazy. A world that is bent on tearing us apart. And the one thing that we need more than anything else is something that does not even make the list of the top 10 things that we talk about each and every day with people that we come into contact with. Folks, this morning, I don't want to talk about those things that we do talk about. I want to remind us that there is something more that we need to be talking about. Brethren Christians, we need to be talking about Jesus. I'll invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, to that text that was read for us just a few minutes ago. We do live in a world that needs something beyond those things that we just read. They need our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you and I, we have a responsibility to talk to the world around us about our Savior. There's nothing wrong with knowing all those other things. There's nothing wrong with having conversations about those other things. But when we do so and we eliminate the conversation about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to think about it. The passage that we read in John chapter 1, verse 29, we read about a man by the name of John the Baptist. And that passage tells us that John the Baptist was the voice to talk about Jesus. When you think about that passage that was read, John chapter 1, starting in verse 23, the first part of that, the Bible tells us that there was a question that was asked to John. They came to John asking who John was. Who are you? What's your name? He didn't respond by giving his name. He didn't respond by saying, well, let me tell you about who I am. When we read about John the Baptist and being asked the question who he was, he answered and he says, I am the voice of one who is crying out in the wilderness. John wasn't known by his name to these people. He wanted to be known by the voice that he was crying out for. He was crying out and he was proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. That's who John was. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And as you continue to go down through verse 23, you see not only was he the voice that was called proclaiming the good news about Jesus to people, but the second part of that passage says, make straight the way of the Lord. The way of the people was not straight during this time. They were living in a time such as we are, where the world was against anything that had to do with God. People were turning away from God. They were no longer following God. And John says, I am the voice of one crying out the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. John the Baptist was responsible for proclaiming Jesus to the people. But John the Baptist was also responsible for preparing people to meet Jesus. And then as you jump down to verses 26, 27, and 28, and 29, we read things such as this. And John answered and saying to them, I baptize with water, but there was one who stands among you whom you do not even know. It is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to unloose. John the Baptist was not only responsible for proclaiming about Jesus. John the Baptist was not only responsible for preparing people to meet Jesus. But John the Baptist was also responsible for pointing people to Jesus. But the lesson this morning is not about John the Baptist. The lesson that we are talking about this morning, we are the voice of Jesus Christ. God has no other voice on this earth than you and I. And so this lesson this morning is about you and I as Christians. We are the voice to talk about Jesus. And the lesson this morning is not about John being responsible for proclaiming Jesus. It's not about John being responsible for preparing people to meet Jesus. But it's about you and I. We are responsible for proclaiming Jesus. We are responsible for preparing those people that we come into contact with each and every day to meet Jesus. We are responsible for pointing people to Jesus. And so I want to look at those three points this morning. I want us to look at those three points about how it is that's our responsibility to ensure that we are doing the things that we need to be doing. When we look at the passage there in John chapter 1 and verse 22 through 29, I want us to focus in on that last verse, verse 29. Because in verse 29, we are given a template. We are giving a way of how it is that we are to accomplish these things. Christians have the template to talk about Jesus. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 29. John calling attention to Jesus, and he did so by saying, "Behold." He's calling out, he's talking to these people, and it's not just something, say, okay, let's take a look. He says, behold, we have a responsibility to call attention to Jesus. Well, how do we do that? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? And glorify God in heaven. What are we doing? We are calling people's attention not to our actions, but we are calling attention to Him. By the things that we do, by the actions that we live our lives by each and every day, we are saying, behold, look, this is Jesus Christ. I am Jesus Christ. I'm not Jesus. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and this is what that looks like. We call attention to Jesus not only with our actions, but also with our choices. If you go to the passage there in 1 Peter chapter 4, it talks about how it is that there have been many who have lived their lives, the entire lives, as the Gentiles have lived their lives. And you come to verse 4 and it says, but we no longer live our lives in that way. And when we live our lives no longer in the way of the Gentiles, people look at us and they say, there's something strange about you. No longer are you walking in those things that list there, fornication and idolatry and immorality, but you are walking in a different way. You have chosen to live your life in a different way. And so we proclaim, we bring attention to Jesus by the choices that we make, oftentimes contrary with the way that we've either lived our lives in the past or contrary to the way that the world lives their lives. So we call attention to Jesus with our actions, with our choices, but also with our lifestyles. You remember Paul writing there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, to live is Christ. That's talking about a lifestyle. And so I ask you this morning, what's your lifestyle? Is your lifestyle one that emphasizes Christ above anything else? Is your lifestyle one that is bringing glory to our Lord and Savior each and every day? Behold, proclaiming Jesus Christ, calling attention to Jesus Christ with our actions, with our choices, with our lifestyles, and of course also with our words. If you go down to the end of that chapter in John chapter 1, we see how it is that there was a man by the name of I've gone blank on the name, of Simon. I'm blank on the name. And one of them, John, I'm sorry. And John, how it was that he went to his brother and he says, we have found the Messiah. He went to Peter and said, we have found the Messiah. It was with his words. He just said, come and look, we have found the Messiah. And later on, you come down to verse 45. And there was Philip who went and found Nathanael. And he told Nathanael, just come and see. Behold, bringing attention to who Jesus is with our words. When you go back to that template that we see in John chapter 1 and verse 29, not only did John say, behold, calling attention to Jesus, but he also went on to say, behold the Lamb of God, calling attention to who Jesus is. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. And I wonder how it is when we talk to people about Jesus. How do you talk to people about Jesus? How do you introduce Jesus to people? Well, you could say, well, Jesus Christ, he is the creator. We sang some songs a while ago talking about our Lord as our creator. You say Jesus is the creator. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that nothing that was not made through him or by him. Jesus is the creator. Is that somehow that you introduce people to Jesus? We live in a world that does not believe in the creation as we read about in the Bible. But we can talk to people and we can talk to them about Jesus as the creator. Or maybe we can talk to them about Jesus, he is the sustainer. Not only were the things that were made by him, but we go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. In him we continue to exist. He sustains us. So we can talk to people and say, he is the sustainer. You can look at other passages and you look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 where it says that Jesus, he has all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all the authority. Do you talk to people and you talked about when you're talking about who has authority? Does the president have authority? Does the Supreme Court have all the authority? You talk to people about Jesus and Jesus is the one with authority. Well, what about introducing him as he is the judge? In Acts chapter 17, we read about the account where Paul is standing before these group of people and he says in verse 30, "But now God commends all men everywhere to repent." Well, why would he do that? Well, verse 31 tells us, it says, "Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge." And God has already identified who that judge is. Jesus Christ. Jesus is the judge. And you continue to go down and introduce people to Jesus. And you could introduce him by saying, well, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one that went to the cross. Jesus is the Savior. And you think about how it is that sometimes we call Jesus as our friend. Jesus is the friend. Jesus says there in John chapter 15, if you keep my commandments, you are my friends indeed. Do you ever talk about people or talk to people about your friends? Let me tell you about my friend. Do you ever talk to people about Jesus is the friend? And then we think about how Jesus is the advocate. When we sin, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, that we have an advocate, and that is Jesus Christ. We can talk to people and we can bring attention to who Jesus was. John brought attention to who Jesus was. He said he is the Lamb of God. But I want you to look back at that list. And that list is very impersonable. It's not something that really brings it close to home. And I want you to consider, instead of just talking to people about the Creator and the Sustainer, I want you to think about maybe changing the way that we talk about Jesus and maybe bringing it a little bit more personal. Do you ever talk to anybody about Jesus being your Creator? Do you ever talk about how it is that Jesus is the one who sustained you? When things go wrong in your life, when you struggle with the temptations of life, when you struggle with just life itself, you ever talk to somebody and say, let me tell you about what sustains me? Jesus Christ is the one. He is my sustainer. He is my authority. I have authority in no one else but my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus the judge, but Jesus is my judge. He's the one that I'm going to stand before on the day of judgment. And he is my judge and he is your judge. He is my Savior. He went to the cross for my sins. And he is my friend. Jesus is my friend. And he is my advocate that when I do sin, that I can go to him and he goes on my behalf to the Father. He is my advocate. Folks, we need to make it personal. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus as he is my everything. We used to sing the song, "He is my everything, he is my all." Is he truly your everything? Is he truly your all? So you look at this template. John says, "Behold," calling attention to Jesus. He says, "The Lamb of God," calling attention to who Jesus is. And then as you go back to John chapter 1 and verse 29, John goes on to tell us what Jesus had done. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When you and I talk to people about Jesus, do we ever call attention to what Jesus has done? we think about things that Jesus has done, and the Bible tells us, John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ gave up heaven. He left the side of God in heaven, and he came down to earth. Jesus Christ, he left mankind, or left heaven for mankind. What else has Jesus done? In doing so, Jesus demonstrated that he had love for mankind. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us that. That he demonstrated his love for mankind. How did he do that? By coming to this earth and suffering and dying for all of mankind. We have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to go and to talk to people about Jesus. If we do not, who will? We live in a world that is falling apart. We live in a world that is lost in sin. And each of us have a responsibility to go and to call attention to Jesus Christ and call attention to what Jesus has done. He came and he suffered for all of mankind. And in doing so, the Bible tells us that he bore the burden of our sins. He took the sins of all mankind. Isaiah chapter 53. The prophet Isaiah there, it says, the Lord shall lay the iniquity of us all on him. Jesus bore our sins as he went to the cross. And in doing so, when he took on the sin of mankind, when we tell people what Jesus has done, Jesus, during that time, was separated from God for mankind. But gratefully, he was raised. He was raised for the dead, from the dead, not just for you and I here today, but for all of mankind. And he wants to continue to bear our burdens. The passage there in Matthew chapter 11, one of my favorite passages. In Matthew chapter 11, we read starting in verse 28, the words of Jesus where he says this: come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ, he was raised from the dead. He wanted to bear our burdens that we have in this life for all of mankind. And you continue to talk to people about Jesus. Talks about how Jesus goes to prepare a place in heaven for all of mankind. But again, you look at that list, and that's not a very personal list. That doesn't really make it personal. And what I want us to do is, as we go out from here today, as we start calling attention to Jesus maybe once again, and I don't know each and every one of us, but I would say that in a group of this size that there's always room for improvement in this. As we go out today, let's make it personal. Instead of just saying that Jesus left heaven for all of mankind, can you say to somebody that Jesus left heaven? He left the splendor of heaven, and he did so for me. He demonstrated his love, not only for mankind, but God, but Jesus Christ demonstrated his love for me. Jesus Christ, he came and he suffered and he died on that cruel cross of Calvary for me. He bore the burden of my sins. And he did so that I could spend eternity with him. He was separated from God for me. He was raised from the dead for me. He wants to bear the burdens of life for me. He has prepared an eternal home in heaven for me. Jesus has changed my life. Folks, I would imagine that you understand that he has changed your life as well. That you are no longer lost in the sin that you had before you became a child of God. But have you told anybody about that? Have you shared the fact that Jesus has changed your life? Folks, we live in a world where we talk about a lot of things. We talk about sports. We talk about politics. We talk about computers. We talk about technology. We talk about diets. We talk about relationships. But it is time for Christians to talk about Jesus John the Baptist, he leaves us an example. He leaves us the template, and we have that template. We need to call attention to Jesus Christ, of who Jesus is, and to what Jesus has done. As you think about those things this morning, as you think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's not just time to talk about Jesus, but it is time, if you have not, to surrender your life to Jesus. You think about what Jesus has done. He did so because he loves you. The Bible clearly lays out what we must do to be saved. Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. We understand what the Bible says. It says that those sins are washed away in the waters of baptism. And when your sins are washed away in the waters of baptism, the Bible tells us that the Lord adds you to his church, and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, where we need to walk faithfully unto death. This morning, think about where you are with our God. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, if you need to ask for forgiveness from our God, if you need the prayers of this congregation, if you need to have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, we encourage you to do so as together we stand and sing.